Lecture 35, Private and Public Dissidents.
In this lecture, I look still more deeply at Soviet life in the years after Stalin and before Gorbachev, in particular the key Brezhnev years of the 60s and 70s and very early 1980s. In particular, I want to look at what has been called or might be called private and public dissidents. This means, of course, the well-known movements we've come to call the dissidents in Russia, but it also means more ordinary and subtle forms of dissension, of alienation, signs, as we now understand, in retrospect, of a system that in many ways was disintegrating from within. First, let me make it clear that most Soviet people were actually quite obedient and conformist, even rather loyal to the status quo. Most people read the Communist Party's official paper, Pravda, and other official papers, as all publications were in the Soviet Union. And in fact, polls among émigrés taken in the 1970s indicate that even people who eventually left the Soviet Union tended to believe that most of what was in the paper was probably true. Most people went to political meetings, which were held quite often at almost any place of work. They didn't go with great enthusiasm, but they believed it to be their civic duty to attend these meetings. Most people, in fact, even cooperated with the KGB, with the political police, when called upon to inform about activities at work or meetings, perhaps, with foreigners. And again, assumed to be a civic duty, though not something you'd want to volunteer for. Many people, in fact, sought to join the Communist Party. There were always more applicants than there were actually spaces within the party. The logic of joining the party tended to be more careerist than ideological, more about getting a better position for oneself than about building communism, but still was a sign of the fundamental conformism of most of the population. Most importantly, people generally avoided doing things that were illegal, that were nonconformist, at least in public. This sort of public conformism is in fact not really all that interesting or surprising. Most people in most places, most of the time, are indeed conformist, especially, of course, in a country like the Soviet Union, where the consequences of deviance are so great. What is interesting, what is telling, is that many people, in many ways, and in fact increasingly, did refuse to conform, though often in safer and quieter ways, in less public ways. And that these moments of nonconformism, which became more and more common, were signs of various degrees of widespread alienation among the Soviet population from the official order and the official ideology. First of all, people dissented in scores of rather tiny but significant ways, various what might be called gestures of defiance, but also these should be understood as ways of making life simply more tolerable, giving people human spaces in which they controlled something of their lives. For example, they would attend meetings, political meetings at work, but they would only half listen to the speaker, which they sort of knew what it was said, they could read the same thing in the papers. Instead, they knit while at the meetings, usually this means women. They read the newspaper, they talked quietly among themselves, they sat in the back row and played chess, and all of this was more or less accepted. People, we know, read the official newspapers, but they tended to almost invariably start at the back of the newspaper, not where the political commentary and news was, but where you could find sports reporting or TV information or information about culture. We know that people often came to work late, and tended to work rather haphazardly while they were there. It was not at all unusual to arrive late for work. After all, you couldn't be fired anyway. And sometimes people simply didn't show up, especially if it was on a Monday morning and they had a bit too much to drink the weekend before. Office workers, even in the midst of the week, tended to take long and frequent breaks to go out and have a cigarette or drink some tea, and usually far more than were officially authorized. In fact, Russian workers even had a saying about all of this. They said, "They pretend to pay us, and we pretend to work." And indeed, as this suggests, another way of this sort of quiet gestures of dissidents were telling jokes, of which there were plentiful numbers of jokes, most of which were in subtle ways critical of the system, critical of its hypocrisies, critical of its lies.